felt feeling for us and helped in any ways they can. And anybody like helped to cook the meal for the fundraising dinner, because we are all students, you know, people that we don't know just volunteer to help. That's really touching.
And the last thing I want to know is, how is Indonesia starting to recover economically? Because I know one of the biggest things down there is tourism. Are people coming back? Are they becoming interested in Indonesia again?
Yeah, I was in Bali in August September. And yes, tourists were coming back there after the first bomb. Mm-hmm. After the first bomb, yes, they started to go back there, and things seem to start being normal. Although people in Bali say that it was not like before. But then after the second bomb, yeah, I'm really worried.
I can understand that. What is the government doing to try to promote tourism? Like, I mean, are they really working hard toward trying to get people back into not just Bali, but like Indonesia in general?
They don't have anything that is especially strategic that they can do right now, especially with the war on terror still going on and just terror attacks still happening in the country. It's hard, but I can assure you, as an Indonesian, actually, I'm not afraid traveling in Indonesia, like in areas and things like that. And Westerners or foreigners are not hated at all in the country. I think if they come, they will still feel the friendliness and how much we welcome them.
Thank you very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Okay.
After a short break, we'll be back with the Chinese perspective.
As the year 2006 draws near, what's the outlook for the Chinese economy? The new corporate law will take effect on Sunday. It's expected to help boost the establishment of new businesses and expand employment in the country. But there are also some problems we need to take account of when implementing the revised law. For more details of these stories, join me, Tu Yun, on Biz China tomorrow.
For more than 60 years, CRI has grown from a wartime radio station inside a mountain cave into a major international broadcaster in 43 languages.
This is Radio Peking.
This is China Radio International, CRI, broadcasting from Beijing.
中国国际广播电台。一期Radio新internationale。こちらは中国国際放送局です。
Esta es Radio Internacional de China.
Yes, Radio.
Listeners get to know not only the latest developments in China, its relations with other countries, and various international issues, but also the way Chinese people look at themselves and the world around them. China Radio International is the voice of China and the window of its people's heart.
And welcome back to People in the Know, online at www.crienglish.com, here on China Radio International. Now, for a look back at last year's devastating South Asian tsunami, we're joined by Mrs. Chen Hong, who's a member of the United Nations Disaster Assessment and Coordination Team.
Ms. Chen, first off, thank you very much for taking the time out with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
You are welcome.
Looking back over the past year, first, take me through where we are currently with the situation in the most hardest hit areas in Indonesia, Thailand, and areas like that.
Our government is very caring about the disaster areas, and we have trying to help them to recovering from the disasters. For example, we have to help them to set up an earthquake monitoring network located around this area that help them to monitor the earthquake. Then we can get the early alerting before the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful to those countries to avoid another tsunami attack.
Exactly.
That's the first of that. Then we also help them to, for example, in the Indonesia, construction of schools. You know that I have been to the Bandar Aceh, and in that city, more than half of the schools were destroyed. So those children could not go to study. So that's they are very need to have a place to study. So our country helped them to set up more than 16, I think, schools.
That's excellent.
Yes.
Now, you said you've been to Banda Aceh and have seen it firsthand. How is, in your mind, the recovery effort going so far? I mean, it's obviously a devastating effect that the tsunami had. How are the people recovering?
Our government sent two medical teams to the Indonesia to help the wounded persons.
Right.
We have give more than 10,000 persons medical treatment.
Wow.
And also we helped to monitoring the disease, to set up the monitoring system. And also, you see, United Nations, we attend the United Nations meetings and get information from the United Nations. Yes, that's very helpful.
Indeed. Can you describe for me what it was like being in Banda Aceh right after the tsunami hit?
That was very terrible, you see. Everything disappeared. The buildings, the especially along the ocean side, it is terrible, and so many dead persons, dead bodies over the along the road or in the river, Banda Aceh River, Aceh River. It's terrible, and all the persons they lose their they could not smell, and that hurt them so deeply.
And is there plans and things working now to try to help the people psychologically deal with their emotional problems?
I think so, but you see, from outside, mostly we do a lot of things to help them. For example, to reconstruction of their house, or for example, in the Sri Lanka, we help them to set up fishery ward, also some houses. I think it is need to get some psychological recovering treatment.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
What sort of material needs do they have in the hardest hit areas? Is there enough supplies to help the recovery effort?
You see, immediately after the disaster, after the tsunami, those poor persons live there. They need food. They need medicines, they need tents, need place to live. A few days later, those materials from all over the world come in and they get them step by step, I think.
Now, what more do you think could China do? I know China's doing great things down there right now, but is there anything more that you think that the Chinese government and or the United Nations can do to help out those people in the hardest hit areas?
The best thing is that all of the, you say, the international assistance could get there as soon as possible. It is the time is, I think time is life. If we can get there earlier, a little bit earlier, then we can maybe save more lives. Yes, that's, time is the problem.
Right.
But you see, it is not only that we could not go there, because the international assistance and international team would like to go there as soon as possible, but that because we need to get the government of Indonesia. If they ask for the international assistance, then we can get there. So that's both sides should maybe to set up a system, a international assistance system. The international assistance could get in smoothly. Yes, that's a system, an international system. Maybe United Nations could do that, could coordinate of it.
Yeah. Is there, I should ask you, anything in the works like that within the United Nations? Are there plans in place to try to create something like that?
Yes. I think I know you have been heard OCHA. Yes. OCHA is a United Nations organization. They are trying to get to set up a system like this and try to get to coordination of the all of the international assistance that can work efficiently and work I think can get very good information, disaster information, and then all of the international assistance can work well. They are trying to do it, and the system is getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
After the several disasters.
And we've had further disasters like the earthquake in Pakistan and places like that. Did those disasters afterwards, did we take lessons away from what happened in the earthquake and use those lessons in those later disasters?
I think human beings always could learn something from the disasters, especially those destructive disasters.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we think it is important the tsunami that could get early warning, early alerting by seismic network. Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
first of all. And then to get the disaster information as soon as possible, that's also important. The updated disaster information can give those people the right assistance.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Chen, thank you so very much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And finally, we get a quick update on what the Red Cross in China is doing to help the ongoing assistance efforts. CRI's Xu Xiaowei spoke with Wang Xiahua with the Red Cross here in China.
The Red Cross Society of China has been very active from the very beginning in raising funds for victims of the tsunami. What was the total amount raised, and how were the funds distributed among the countries hit?
The tsunami which hit the Indian Ocean on 26th December was followed by a wave of compassion that swept through China. And almost immediately after we got the news from the international media that we launched an emergency appeal throughout the country, through our branches. And so far, we have been able to raise a total in cash and in kind donation from the public from China, RMB 443 million Chinese yuan.
And then how were the funds distributed?
Well, in the emergency period of the relief operation after the tsunami, that we transferred funds to the International Red Cross Organization,
mm-hmm.
that is Geneva-based International Federation, and the International Committee of Red Cross to help their multiple relief operations in the countries. And also that we transferred our emergency relief funds to the countries affected. Altogether, there are 14 countries affected, with Indonesia, Sri Lanka, and Maldives hit most. And so far, that about 59% of the funds raised has been used either for the emergency relief or the rehabilitation reconstruction projects
mm-hmm.
in these countries, mainly in Indonesia, Sri Lanka, Maldives, and Thailand, and Myanmar.
Mm-hmm. In the worst-hit countries,
yes.
The victims that suffered the most seems to be fishermen, farmers, women, and small business owners. How will the Red Cross continue to help these people in the long run?
Well, in the rehabilitation programs that we are supporting through the local Red Cross, mainly we are focusing on building permanent houses for the families lost their houses during the tsunami. We built so-called China Indonesian or China Sri Lanka or China Maldives or China Thailand Red Cross or Friendship Villages. And mm-hmm. in these villages, besides the family houses, we are also building some necessary public facilities, institutions like clinics, schools, daycare centers for children. And also that we are helping to build or renovate the hospitals, schools, and other facilities damaged by the tsunami. And we have limited funds to offer a long-term support, but what we are trying to do that is to helping the affected people to get more self-efficient. And in planning these rehabilitation projects, we are also considering that the people will move to these new houses, that they can have easy access to the business that they are familiar or they are experienced. Where we'll continue to take care of their livelihood.
Mm-hmm. And as the world gets ready to celebrate the holidays, people will undoubtedly be reminded of the tsunami this year and for many years to come. How should we remember this disaster and its victims?
If we look back, that we'll see that this year is earmarked by many big disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Tsunami is one of them,
mm-hmm.
which caused tremendous casualties and damages. Mm-hmm. And in August, Katrina hit southern part of the United States, which was regarded as the worst natural disasters in the U.S. history.
Mm-hmm.
And in early August, again, a strong earthquake hit South Asia. Pakistan was the country affected by most. Well, some of these disasters cannot be totally regarded as a natural disasters in general term. And I think that where people enjoy the benefits and the good things that modern scientific development or so-called social development that brought with, and people should be careful with this, some bad things or the influence or effects brought together with this. We should be more careful with this environment, and we're doing our utmost to make people living more harmoniously with the environment we're living with. I think this is a lesson not only for the tsunami, but for the people everywhere in the world.
And as the South Asian nations hit by this devastating disaster remember their lost loved ones, we here at China Radio International would also like to send out our condolences and show our support for their ongoing recovery efforts. That's all the time we have for this edition of the program. For producer Shuang Feng, I'm Paul James in Beijing saying Zaijian until next time.
Service of China Radio International. We've now reached the end of this one-hour program, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments or suggestions, you'd like a program schedule, or if you'd like to know the frequency for your area, write to us at the English Service, China Radio International, Beijing, China. The postal code is 100040. Reach us by email at crieng@cri.com.cn. You can also visit our website at english.cri.com.cn for more news and other information about China and the rest of the world. On behalf of the CRI team here in Beijing, this is Wang Lu saying goodbye and thanks for joining us.
Ông không nghỉ ngơi hay đi thăm thú đâu đó, mà vẫn tiếp tục phối hợp với các đơn vị liên quan, tổ chức các hội nghị.